Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Lamed Dalet, the 34th chapter of the second book of Divrei Hayomim, as we move towards the end. Our perek is 33 psukim long and the topic is Yoshiyahu HaMelech. A parallel parasha in Nach can be found in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Beis, in the beginning of Chof Gimel. And of course, Yoshiyahu and the events of his life are recorded in many of the Nevi'im, specifically references in earlier Melachim and in Yirmiyahu. Let's take a look at this perek as a whole. The first two psukim give us introduction that he becomes king at the age of 8 years old. If you remember, his father Amon was killed at an early age, so he's only very young. He ruled for 31 years in Yerushalayim, and the summary of his life is Vayasi Yashar Beinei Hashem. He really went in the right way in front of HaKadosh Baruch. He did the right thing. So let's hear a little bit about that. So from Sukkim Gimel to Hay, and then really essentially to Zion, we hear about his cleansing program. So in the 8 years into his rule, so he's at the ripe age of 16, he was a still young man, and he decided to find out about his ancestry, about the gods of the God of David HaMelech, his Elokei, David HaMelech Aviv, and he spent time trying to discover. And in the 12th year, he began to purify Yehud and Yerushalayim from the personal altars, from the Asherah trees, from all the different types of images which were adorning the area. He broke the Mizbechos and the Chamonim, his sun worship areas. He cut down the trees and all the images he destroyed. And in fact, he even burnt the bones of the priests on their altar and clearing up Yehud and Yerushalayim. We also hear about the areas of Ephraim and Manasseh, Shimon and Naphtali. He went there as well, and he destroyed their altars and their Asherah trees. So it's a very incredible program. A few things to question and wonder about when going through this section is, what got him going in all this searching out of Hashem? The Chida points out, it was all despite his upbringing. His upbringing was one of pagan idol worship. That's what Amon, his father, did. However, he himself was able, in the goodness of his character and his soul, to be able to find the right way. So we're being told this over here as a contrast to just show you how difficult it was for him to achieve what he did achieve. Why are we hearing a story about the bones and the priests? So if you go back to the beginning of Sefer Melachim, you'll remember that there was a prophecy in which Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel, where there was a prophecy given by the Ish Elohim, the man of God, to Yerovam ben Nevat when he went sour, when his kingdom went to Avodah Zarah. And the Ish Elohim said, because of what you did, in the future, the bones of all the priests over here, all those who are buried here, will be burnt on the altar by Yoshiyahu HaMelech, which is a prophecy hundreds of years in the future, but here is where it is being fulfilled in this very episode right now as well. This is why, in fact, there was a whole debacle there in Perek Yud Gimel and in Melachim Aleph as to where this Ish Zaken is going to be buried. He wanted to be buried with a prophet so his bones would not be burnt as well. Fascinating story that relates to this as well. It is also worthwhile noting, as the Malbim points out, that he first spread his net over Yehuda and Binyamin, and then he circled further north into the tribes of the north, which he felt he had a responsibility to. At this point in time, they have been exiled, so it's really just the remaining refugees in the area, but nonetheless, he still takes care of them, almost like the king of everybody as well. So then the next project he gets going with is fixing the base Hamikdash. And in this area, from Psukim Ches to Yud Gimel, we hear about the 18th year of his kingdom, he decides to cleanse the base Hamikdash. He sends Shafan ben Atzalyahu, Maaseyahu, the Sarair, and Yoach ben Yoachaz, to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what they did. Chilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol, goes and he brings the necessary money that's necessary to invest in this, and he gathers all the people and all the necessary money is necessary to do this, and they start fixing and with the wood and the stone and all the different pieces to make the Beis HaMikdash as it should be. And we hear this large project and all the details that are involved in all the people in their in their jobs. Now, why is this? What stimulated this construction project? The Radak points out it has been 224 years since the update to the times of Yoash, and it was really prime time to be able to do this. The Ralbag says that this is a program of first what's called Sur Merah and then Aseh Tov. Sur Merah means destroy the shrines of idol worship. Aseh Tov means, and now let's make the Beis HaMikdash a place where we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the second step of his program. Interesting point to note over here is that the chronology in Direi Yamim is different to the chronology in Sefer Melachim. In Melachim, it describes his cleaning the Beis HaMikdash, and as we're about to hear, the finding of the Sefer Torah, first, and then his spiritual revolution, second. Here we hear about the beginnings of his spiritual revolution at the even before he cleans the Beis HaMikdash. How does this fit together? So the Malbim explains that Ezra is explaining that although it's true that cleaning the Beis HaMikdash led to finding the Sefer Torah, which will ultimately lead to a huge spiritual revolution, he himself arrived at that at the beginning. It wasn't as if there was one moment in his life. It was a progression of him being a soul looking for the right things, which led him to fix the Beis HaMikdash, which led him to discover more. So he was already open before it started. So let's get into what actually happens with that Torah. From Psukim Yud Dalet to Yud Tes, we hear about how they're, as they're doing all the transfers and they're putting the money in the coffers, and they're making sure everything is good. And they say, you know, we found this Sefer HaTorah, Matzasi Beveis Hashem. So Yechilkiyahu gives it to Shafan, and Shafan looks at it and brings it to the king, and he says, and he starts reading this to the king, and starts bringing it to other people, and they say that this is the Torah of Moshe, that they found the Torah as Moshe. Vayikishmoa HaMelech is Divrei HaTorah, Vayikras Begadov. But when he hears them reading the Torah, they open up at a particular point, he tears his clothes. So first of all, just a few things. Where is the Sefer from? Why was it in hiding? So the Malbim says, this is in fact the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So this is the first Sefer Torah ever written, which was stored in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was hidden during the days of Menashe when they realized that Menashe would destroy it. So it was hidden but forgotten and now rediscovered two generations later. This is very important because this is a critical link in the chain of the Masorah, that the Masorah actually connects the past to the future in this way. The Sefer Torah carries us over from four centuries. It's an incredible amount of connection over here. The Radak in the Mitzvot points out that it may have been actually hidden in the times of Achaz, who burnt a Sefer Torah, but it couldn't be found afterwards. So different suggestions as to when it was, in fact, archived. Now, it sounds like he was surprised when he read the Sefer Torah, but does that mean the Torah was forgotten? Islam likes to argue that here's an example where you see the Torah really was forgotten, and you see Yoshia HaMelech didn't even know the Torah, nobody knew the Torah, so obviously it's all been abrogated. The Radak says not at all. If you open it, it happens to be that he opened up the area of the klalos, the curses, and it referred to the galus of Yisrael, the exile, and he was terrified. So what surprised him was not the information, but the fact that information was read right now and how similar it was to what they were going through right now. That's what happened. So in response to this, in Psukim Chof to Chof Aleph, Yoshua Melech sends his officers and he goes off and he says to them, "Lechu dirshus Hashem badi, go seek out the word of God for me and for the remaining Israel." And is about this, what's written in the Sefer. He goes and sends off a party to find this out. What is he seeking to find out? The Mitzvah says that the area in the Torah that he opened up to says not only did just the klalos, but the first part of the what he read was the pasuk which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you, Yolech Hashem Oschove Es Malkocha, Hashem is going to take you into exile and your king. And he was terrified. He said, look, we have checked all the boxes. We've done all the bad things here. And now, after doing all these bad things, the next step in the program in Parashas Kisavoy is getting taken to Golos and the king. He says, is this applying to us? So what do they do? From Psukim Chof Beis to Chof Ches, we hear about how they go to the prophetess Chulda, and they ask her, they present the questions, and she gives a very stern answer. She says the following. She says, because of all the actions of the nation of Israel, all the terrible things that they've done, there is going to be destruction brought upon this place because you abandoned me. I'm going to abandon you, and there is going to be a fire of my anger which will not be extinguished. But tell the person who sent you, tell the king of Yehuda, because you ripped your garments and you took this seriously, it's not going to happen in your days. You're going to go to your grave in peace, and you're not going to see all the evil that will befall the nation. So why did they not go to Chulda? Why did they go to Chulda, not Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu was a contemporary of Chulda. Why did they not go to Yirmiyahu? So one option is that Chilkiyahu was the father of Yirmiyahu. And so Yirmiyahu is very young at this point in time. He's not a senior prophet. Chulda was. The other answer is that the Chazal say is quoted in Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Beis, is that she was a rachmani. She was a more willing to be merciful, and that would impact the way she interpreted the prophecy. Therefore, they thought that there is more of a chance, if there's any level of flux in the prophecy that could be up to the interpretation of the Navi, they wanted the most merciful interpretation, which is why they went to her and not to Yirmiyahu. What's the gist of what she's saying? So the Malbim points out, basically destruction is slated, but you, Yoshiah, will not face it yourself. Now, she does promise that he'll die in peace, but that's not really true. He does die in battle. So Rashi says that's true, but it is peaceful compared to what will be in the future. Meaning to say, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which is being prophesied, is in fact going to be much more terrible, and that, therefore, it's relative shalom. He died in actually a friendly battle, as you'll see, in a sense, in a moment. The Rabbi now asks a basic question. Wait a second. Are decrees intractable? Is there no way to be able to get back and fix things up at this point in time? Is it too late? So Abinel says it's true that Yoshiah brought about a huge spiritual revolution, but the people weren't willing to change. They were still involved in the culture around them, and ultimately it wasn't because of their ancestors, it was because of what they themselves were still continuing to do. Very sad fact. We'll get to that, God willing, the next couple prakim. Finally, we hear about in Chav Tes to Lamed Gimel, how Yoshiah Melech gathers all the elders, all the people to Yerushalayim, and he makes a new contract. He makes a bris. He renews the covenant of the Sefer for the Torah, and he reads the Torah, and he tells them about it, and he makes a covenant that we're going to commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we abandoned him. And at that point in time, about Yosar Yoshiah is Kolatai voice me Kol Haaratzais, and he removed all the abominations over here. It seems fascinating that the people gathered in Yerushalayim were the people of Yehuda and Binyamin, so those are the people who were really willing. Those of the North Sea or remaining of the North refugees don't seem as willing to make this commitment. It is interesting, as the Ralbag points out, that already he has destroyed most of the Avodah Zarah already on his own intuition. However, this is the full program where it completely removes what is remaining, and that's what's being seen over here in this version, the Direi Yamim version, specifically in contrast to the Menachem version. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.